The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsack for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Meeting guests, ranking things in Star Wars. Let's get to it and bring in the man who has been going through every movie with me and pulling out the best and most favorite lines of dialogue. It's Joseph Scrimshaw.
Oh, I am happy to be here and talk about my most favoritist.
Most favoritist, indeed. We stumbled onto this idea not too long ago here. This is our third episode in this series where we said, hey, for Star Wars Rank, let's rank our favorite lines from A New Hope. And you know what? When there's this many movies to choose from, it's so fun to do. We're going to keep going. And today, Joseph, we are focusing on episode 6, 1983's Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Now, would you say, Ken, I know this is your first film. It's the one that you have a specific relationship to. When you watch the original trilogy, is it your favorite to watch right now?
Interesting point. Definitely part of that. Grew up and suddenly was like, oh, that's right. Empire is better. Right. You're right. I'm so sorry. I've grown up now. Where friends like Mark Ellis are like, no, we win. Jedi's the best. And I can get behind all of it. And also with Star Wars, you don't lose as a fan. That's the big win. Yes, I have a special relationship to it and enjoy watching it. Case in point, first two episodes so far, New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, I poked around the movies, but I went online and just a lot of the lines I remembered because I love them. And sometimes you maybe need to jog your memory and look at a list of favorite lines or something or a StarWars.com article. And you go, oh, that's right. There's that one. And then maybe it draws you to a specific scene. I sat down, Disney Plus, brought up Return of the Jedi. I watched the whole movie. And I, you know, we can talk about the faults in place another time. But the other thing I discovered is this is the movie I probably could sit there, not completely from memory, I'm so bad with quotes anyways, but I could watch this film and just Rocky Horror Picture Show this one more than any other one. Just say the lines, get ready for the moments, the movements, the eye movements, whatever it is. This is the one, and I think you're right, it's that special relationship I and a lot of fans of this generation have.
Yeah. For me, it's that one that always just reminds me that you can appreciate things in multiple different ways. Like, I think the sort of the Empire Jedi, like, A, there was that the now pretty much almost forgotten, it feels like, generation of people who weren't happy with the Ewoks, didn't like what Han Solo did, didn't like the way Boba Fett died. And there was a lot of, you know, fan grumpiness about Return of the Jedi back in the day. Mm. So there's that. But then there's also then the Empire Jedi, A New Hope, which is your favorite, debate of is Empire, you know, the best. And I think for me, it's always just refreshing to go, you can enjoy these in different ways. I think Empire for me is a better made film, like the angle of the shots, the mood, the amount of soul that Irvin Kershner gets out of the actors, all this kind of stuff. And there's some like shots in Return of the Jedi, I feel like that's kind of flat or it's kind of you could have maybe gotten more out of that moment. And like, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
But then I ask myself, like, well, when you sit down to watch both these films, do you enjoy them the same amount? Like, well, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just okay to have, shockingly, different points of view, even on your own point of view, even on the way you enjoy things. Because
yeah,
there's just such, there's a joy to Return of the Jedi. There's a depth to it. Return of the Jedi has a lot of my favorite lines, like where that's not even like, it's nothing really about the line is amazing. It's just like, I love the way it's delivered, you know, or yeah, certain Luke's eye look up to Leia right before he says sister, right? Like, bam, amazing, you know?
Yeah. Oh gosh, you're speaking the language of that connects me here. Like I just Luke looking away when Yoda dies and kind of turning back to it as it faces its reality and all the little just all those little moments. Yeah, you're so right. And yeah, look, my relation to this movie has changed over the years and sometimes doubles back on itself. Where this was my favorite movie to watch. Where Empire was even as a youngster was a little you know slower at times and maybe you know I didn't appreciate it. Blah blah blah. But this one, you know, there was a period of time of, oh, yeah, that's right. I guess I'm supposed to not like the Ewoks. And now I'm like, all Ewoks all the time. Give me Chirpa. Give me Low Gray. Want to know it all. Love their sacrifice. Love their part. And there's just a lot of fun to it. And I think that's, yeah, a valuable spot to end up on, Joseph. Just you can look at these movies and look at them from all different points of view, but it's Star Wars. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
All right. That said, we are going to work our way 5-1. You know the drill. If you're a Star Wars rank listener, we'll have some honorable mentions thrown in there as well. And as always, if we don't get to a line or a moment that you love, you know how you can share it with us, because we love to hear that. Do it online on Twitter or our Discord. We'll tell you about that at the end of the show if you don't know. Joseph, let's dive in here. We're going to rank our favorite Return of the Jedi lines, beginning with your number 5.
My number 5, well, I already kind of cheated and snuck it into our conversation. It is an Obi-Wan Kenobi quote that, you know, kind of echoes out backwards and forwards through the saga of Star Wars. It is Obi-Wan Kenobi saying, "Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view." Could go to that whole point of view conversation. My favorite line could be Luke's dubious, "a certain point of view." But I picked this line because it's Obi-Wan diffusing the conflict and kind of not making it about entirely about their conflict, but kind of also trying to give Luke a real perspective, a point of view,
yes,
about points of view. And Obi-Wan goes on to elaborate and explain how, from his point of view, Anakin was destroyed by this different being, Vader. That is his legitimate point of view. And using that as, hopefully a life lesson for Luke. A lot of fan debate about this, about whether Obi-Wan is being shifty or whether he not, you know, he's equivocating and kind of covering his half-truth. But for me, I think the reason that I wanted to pick this line and start with this line is this is one of those many philosophies that will bubble through Star Wars and then just gets really codified by a specific line. Mm-hmm. And going forward now, the line itself gets reused, but now you kind of really have a label for this idea that floats around in Star Wars of how important a point of view is, and it gets all traced back to this line. And I think what's powerful about it to me is a lesson that a master is, you know, trying to give to, a young hero is Obi-Wan's not making any specific value judgment about it. He's just sharing this observation that people have, their determined focus, their focus determines their reality, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of another way of saying that, of like, some people really look at something this way, and that's just a truth, good, bad, or otherwise. So if you want to try to have empathy with them, you have to try to understand how they're looking at it.
Yeah.
If they're an opponent and you're never going to agree with how they're looking at it, it's still important for you to understand where they're coming from so you can decide how you want to respond. I think there's just like such power and such wisdom in it that is both absolutely tied to the way that Obi-Wan told Luke about the truth of his father, but it's also just kind of so universal. It's real life wisdom, and it reverberates out through Star Wars.
Well, there's so many things I love about this line, and you could start with the fun debate about, hey, maybe George and company changed the plan of the story, and then we've already said this New Hope, and how do we do it? And you could look at it that way, and they had to look at it that way. And out of that comes like, oh, well, what are we going to do with this? And you turn it into something so powerful and true you're right, does continue to connect. It's not just a fun little wink and a nod to the line. This is a philosophical point of view from Star Wars, I would argue, right? And so to be able to take this moment, it becomes a, how best can we go forward? We have a choice here. How do we do it? And I have fun with it, a little bit of Obi-Wan going, oopsie. Yeah, you know, also, by the way, we didn't feel you were ready, because even Yoda, moments before he dies, is still kind of like, yeah, your father, he is. Like,
right.
We're trying to work out the best way to give this to you, because we fear your reaction to it, which is valid from their point of view.
And Yoda puts it in such an empathetic way of, you know, when he says it's unfortunate, Luke says, unfortunate, I know the truth. And Yoda's like, no, that not yet ready for the burden, were you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so kind. And to me, that's always why I'm not on the bandwagon of Obi-Wan Kenobi's an awful liar, you know? Or sometimes you hear the argument of like, Obi-Wan didn't want to tell him because they're just raising him to be, you know, the assassin of his own father. Right. Like, great, you can have that debate, but it is also coming from the point of view of like, this young man can only take so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're already, look what's already happened. So no, I think it works in a lot of ways. And yeah, you're so right. It's just this, this one little moment becomes just a bumper sticker for a lot of other parts in Star Wars that come after this.
Yeah, and, you, and it's so fun to see it, not only when it's like explicitly referenced, like it's explicitly referenced in Revenge of the Sith when Anakin says, well, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil. And Obi-Wan says, well, then you are lost, right? But like the important truth of this is understanding not the moment where Anakin literally quotes the line, but when he is reflecting the philosophy, like immediately after he, you know, helps Palpatine destroy Mace, he falls to his knees and says, what have I done? And then Palpatine's like, don't worry, you know, you're going to learn these powers, you're going to save your wife. And Anakin immediately starts doing exactly what this line says, clinging to his own point of view. Mm-hmm. He immediately starts agreeing with Palpatine that, like, you're right, once the Jedi hear what happens here, they're going to not only kill us, they'll turn on the Senate too. And like, he clings to this point of view that he needs to justify what he has just done, right?
Yeah.
And what he's about to do. It's clinging to a point of view. It's exactly what Obi-Wan's describing. And it's even more powerful to me than when the line gets called out, you know, directly by reusing the term point of view. Mm. It's much more rewarding when you're applying it to key choices that characters make.
Yeah. Powerful word. Clinging. It's very visceral. You get a picture. It's not just, it's not just a cat hanging on a branch hanging in there. It's it could be that, but a lot more.
Right. And when you focus on cling, it's also an admission by Obi-Wan too, to say, that's the truth that I cling to.
Mm-hmm.
For me to understand what happened to my friend, to cope with it, I think of it this way. Vader killed Anakin. He's gone.
Yeah. I love what you say about also this is a lot about Luke and what Luke's learning here, but Obi-Wan living with that for 19 years now.
And, yeah.
You know, maybe this could explore with Kenobi. We try not to cling to our own expectations for Kenobi, the series, but this could be something that could come up.
Absolutely. So that's my number five.
It's a great way to start the list. Very, very fun way, an important way. And Kenobi, ghosts, logs, sitting indeed, which is a fun thing there. My number five it's a little series of, it's a back and forth. And you and I could probably touch, and we'll touch on some back and forth in Return of the Jedi. but this is Luke on and Han on the skiff out there by the sail barge. Luke saying, I used to live here, you know. Han saying, you're going to die here, you know. Convenient. So I was thinking about what do I want to, you know, put into this list. So number one, that's really funny. And that made Ken laugh, little Kenny laugh in 1983. But more importantly, Joseph, in about 1990, 91, 92, when I'm now starting to perform in school plays and deciding what I want to do and making videos and radio shows at home, I really have to tie a lot of my humor, my David Harbour-like grumpiness, to this Han Solo. For better or worse, this is me kind of looking dark-sided life a little bit sometimes, being cynical, sarcastic, if you will, whatever it is. I just love this exchange, and Han just kind of just telling the truth. Oh, you're going to die here, you know. No hope, no sunny side up, just that. It's funny, but also works as a theme, good and bad, and it comes from Return of the Jedi, a movie I'm popping in the VCR time after time again during very formative years. So thank you, Han.
There are a lot of great Han lines, a lot of great Han moments in that cynicism mixed with, who knows, I'll try it, you know? Yeah. But I think what I love about this moment is it is comedy that hinges on our point of view. And there's a lot of little moments like this where we've gone through this journey with Luke and we, the audience, know like, yeah, no, he went to, you know, a swamp planet and a Muppet taught him. He's real powerful now. And Han doesn't know any of that. He's just like, he's this guy. He can't even check out a meteor without needing to be rescued. Right. And we have that perspective. And their whole vibe on the skiff when they're zipping over there is Luke's got this, like, now this much more zen, like, I've taken care of everything, or if something changes, I'll adapt to it, I'll be okay. And Han's just like, the hell are you talking about? Why are you calm? Like, that contrast in their energy that we understand, but Han doesn't have a perspective to understand yet, is so funny.
It ties a little bit to that the muttered Han. I don't know how we're gonna get out of this one, Chewie. One of your favorite Han lines too. Of just like, it's more of that Han spirit than the I don't know. We'll jump to light speed and figure it out.
Yeah, like, great, great. This is all great. Yeah, and it is very funny grump.
Yeah, funny grump. And, you know, Return of the Jedi has some silly moments that really hit for me at 7 or 8. You know, Han tapping on 3PO's shoulder, just hilarious to little Kenny. As he got older, I could tell you Ken didn't like that as much. It doesn't like that scene as much over time. But these lines, this type of Han, this type of banter really does stand up and stand out. And that's what I love about it. So,
yeah, great one.
That is my number 5, which means we're up to your number 4.
My number 4 is, man, this was hard to pick Palpatine lines because all of them, because you talk about enjoying lines regardless of the content, just the delivery, that's every time Palpatine speaks in almost every film, but in particular Return of the Jedi. But I had to go to one of the ones that is that's real fun to quote out of context. It comes up randomly as a joke in many moments in life, but it has such great meaning in the film. It is, "You want this, don't you?" There's so many ways to look at Palpatine, but one of the things that he is so clearly in the majority of this film, his big scene here, you know, with Luke and Vader, is he is the temptation. He is the one going, "It would be, you could take care of all your problems if you just grabbed your weapon," you know? And also, like, saying to Luke, it's such a great way to say that you can't deny what you are, you know? Mm-hmm. That Luke has started this journey thinking what he needs to do is become a warrior, a great Jedi warrior. And he's learned a little bit about that, but that's still there, and he's fighting against that, right? He's struggling for pacifism, and he knows this is a trap. He knows fear, anger, aggression lead to the dark side, but also that lightsaber has, you know, earlier in this film, been this triumphant symbol of hope that he used to rescue his friend, you know? And just, it's such a great line delivery to play on all of that conflict going on in Luke of, what is this weapon to you right now? Is it, you know, this this symbol of a hero, or is it giving in to the temptation of just hacking any problem apart with violence and with anger?
Well, so let me tell you something. I all the years of you and I have discussed Palpatine, I love focusing here more than any time I can remember. And if we've discussed it in detail, we've also got over 1,000 episodes of details. Palpatine as temptation is just, put that on a poster of the why of Star Wars. Everything up to this point, and you're so right, because all the lessons, all the whispers of Yoda in his ear, you know, is the dark side stronger? No, quicker, easier, more seductive. And here you got the old man, you know, sitting here going, you know, this could solve your problems. And the temptation in all of us, when you have these big choices, wow, boom, there you go. And this line, because, yeah, you and I could literally, and we have done our favorite Palpatine quotes, we could do it again, and we could make a different list almost every time. And I found myself in writing down, you know, just kind of brainstorming ideas of lines to discuss. I just I had, at one point, was like, oh, I'm just literally just quoting Palpatine. I gotta stop. Because that's Ian McDiarmid in the delivery and what he is, and the big evil, the big bad. He represents power, represents this. But, man, this is almost a thesis statement for the essay that is Palpatine. You want,
yeah,
that, don't you?
Yeah, and really, like, there's sometimes it seems like, well, how could anybody ever go along with this cackling maniac with the rotten teeth? And, like, he successfully makes it about Luke. You want this, don't you? Plus, it's just fun to quote. And, it, you know, I think about it when I see a block of cheese.
I love it. I love it. Well, that's your number 4. I'm going to slide, Joseph, if you don't mind, into my number 4, because
we
have synced up, and not just synced up with the character Palpatine, good old Sheev. We've synced up with the actual, like, chunk of dialogue, like same paragraph. You want this, don't you? Kind of starts a block of dialogue, and ends with my favorite line here of, "It is unavoidable. It is your destiny. You, like your father, are now mine." I mean, come on. That's the temptation. And Palpatine's offering this choice, but his perspective, his point of view, he's clinging to, of, no, no, no. you know you have no choice. You really have no choice. The temptation's already within you, and I've already got you. And look at this guy in front of you. And it's one of the times that I can remember starting to see Anakin or Vader really in a tragic light. And you and I broke down the Star Wars scene by scene of Vader and Luke on the balcony there when he gets on the hallway when he gets turned in to Vader by the Imperials there and you know it's too late for me, my son. A lot of tragedy in that, but here the whole time it's like Vader's putting up the power, dark side. You're gonna see it's your destiny, Luke. We're gonna rule the galaxy, and then here you got Palpatine just going, I'm offering you a choice, but guess what? You're already mine. And look at this pathetic black cloak wearing lump of failure. He's mine. I took him. I conquested him. He's a piece and you're going to replace him and you can't avoid it. And it's setting up everything that's about to explode in that throne room. And it gets me oddly, excited for more Palpatine greatness, but also Luke's ultimate victory and Vader's ultimate redemption. A lot of it, I tie it to this line.
Yeah, no, I think it's really powerful. There's so many of these lines that have great weight and meaning. The delivery is beautiful. And this is one where the beautiful, quotable, imitatable delivery really supports the meaning, right? Because, some of the lines are just fun, right? I'm afraid the electrocution will be quite operational when you're afraid. Like, that's just, it serves a narrative purpose, but it's also just like, you bleep. But this one ending on the "you like your father are now mine," you know, it's that sense of possession, control, ownership. It is, this sort of question hanging over Return of the Jedi is Obi-Wan and Yoda seem to believe that once you start down, the path, the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. And here's Palpatine kind of echoing that too, of like, all I need you to do is give in out of fear of your friends dying. I need you to lash out in hate just a little bit and you'll never turn back. Right. So it's Palpatine kind of raising the same argument that as soon as you give in and start lashing out in hate for just a little bit, you're walking down that path. And as soon as you walk down that path, you're going to get addicted to the dark side. You're going to crave more power. And I'm going to offer you more power and then I'm going to torture you and then you get mad and I'll be this endless circle and I'll have you the way I've got your dad. You know, it's really saying something about the way the dark side works and what Luke is wrestling with.
Yeah. And I love the play on that, that word destiny, which can often be, we're a team of destiny. It's my destiny to be the king. It's my destiny to save the day. All fun things that you and I love analyzing this idea of destiny, just being choices and it's not, the ink is not dry, right? All these wonderful things that pop up in other genres and fantasy genres and fantasy properties, I should say, but to have Palpatine just be like, destiny, it's real and you know it and you can't do anything about it. And this is where you end up. It's just a real evil, just poking the side of Luke's soul for me. It's just taking away all hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Very successful manipulation and fun to quote.
And fun to quote indeed. Just as is fire at will, Commander. Oh, Palpatine. So that is my number four. But now we're gonna force ourselves to move on from Palpatine. Check my list. Yep. Okay. To your number three.
My number three is a bit of Han and Luke banter as well. This one has one of those ones that I think kind of just as a kid washed over me in the theater. And I remember I've talked a couple times about how for one of my birthdays, we rented a VCR because we didn't own one and rented Return of the Jedi. And remember my dad figuring out like, okay, if I don't return this video cassette, it's $89. What? Different times. And we just rewatched, eventually we watched the whole film, but we rewatched just the Jabba's Palace opening sequence, half hour ish again and again. And it was on that VCR viewing where like this sunk in and became like one of my favorite exchanges in Star Wars. And it's never really changed. And it is it's longer, but I'm going to boil it down to the conclusion. Han, how we doing? Luke, same as always. Han, that bad, huh? It's just great, straightforward, kind of buddy banter. But it's also for me that little bit of the tip of the iceberg storytelling of, especially when it's younger, of like, we only get to see so many adventures between, you know, with our rebels, Luke and Han and Leia. But there are these little moments that hint at so much more. You know, the bounty hunter we ran into on Ord Mantell, you know, the how we doing, same as always. That bad, huh? Certainly tracks to every moment that you've seen Luke and Han have together. You know, in the two previous films. But it also suggests like, oh, man, everywhere we go, we end up in a just dire, awful situation like this. And, you know, I think also as I get older, it's just one of those great moments where, you know, that's the power of comedy sometimes, is to really cope with a bad situation and kind of deflate it by laughing at it and taking some of its power away. And I feel like, you know, our heroes are doing that too, of like, so we're about to die. Yeah, it's Tuesday. We're about to die. What, you know? It's got that great vibe.
Yeah. Well, credit to Luke. Yeah. Yes, Mark Hamill, but Luke just having his own bit of you know, same as always, because he's you know, Jedi starts. He's a little dark. He's a little dour. He's very serious. He's got some important things to do. But him having a chance to have a little crack too of it just shows the wonderful connection they have, like you were saying. So I love that part of it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's on like a few moments later in the skiff where they're kind of coming from different perspectives. They're in the same boat here, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's an odd confidence to it too, right? Sam is always that bad, huh? They know that they've had everything so far there. No, Han has a little less hope a little bit later on. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And still a little bit of grumpy from Han. That bad, huh?
Always got to be some grumpy.
Yeah. So that's my number three.
All right. Your number three is that. Well, we're sticking with Han Solo, one half at least, for my number three. We are going to in Jabba's Palace. The reveal there as this mysterious bounty hunter, Bausch, or you can call her Boosh, or you can call her Bausch, whatever you want. Okay. Boosh, Bausch, Boosh, as we always say around the Force Center. Leia, disguised as this bounty hunter, saves Han. That's the big purpose that are all here. And look, Return of the Jedi a little bit later on has a reuse of the I Love You, I Know scene. I don't have too much of a problem with that. I bet if podcasts existed in 1983, that scene would have been, I don't know, I think there would have been an interesting reaction to that scene following the classic Empire Strikes Back one. I think, though, this is a very underrated follow-up to the Empire sequence when we first seen them together. Han just asking, you know, who are you? Because he's obviously blind, carbon sickness, feeling the mask of Bausch there. And just Leia taking the mask off and saying, someone that loves you. And what that means for her, you've talked a lot, spoken a lot, I should say, Joseph, of Leia not letting herself have that love. And that's the power as she you know, often doesn't sacrifices her own personal needs for the greater good and the greater cause of the rebellion. And admitting that to Han in Empire Strikes Back is so powerful. And now it's just confirmed and it's part of her existence. And it's also part of the big picture too. You can have both. And I think in this moment, as she's saving, she is now the princess rescuing the scoundrel here. It just means a lot to me as a Leia fan. And it's an underrated moment that I don't think it's celebrated as much as the Empire one, for good reason. But then, you know, this one's just the perfect follow-up. It's the first time they're seeing each other since that moment, and it works for me.
Yeah, I think there's some just great moments in Return of the Jedi that are these beautiful evolutions of Empire Strikes Back, as, you know, good storytelling obviously should have the characters kind of moving forward from one challenge. But, you know, Empire Strikes Back is just rife with this fear of loss, you know, and I think that's what some of those early soulful moments are when, you know, Leia looking out when the Hoth shield doors need to be closed, Han looking when Luke leaves with his kind of sense of doom and fear for his young friend. And then all these things get paid off as they survive, you know, they get closer together. And now things that were kind of up in the air are not, you know, Luke is set on his path. He made his mistake and he is trying to be a Jedi with the deepest commitment, the most serious mind. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Leia was trying to push away those feelings for Han. And now they're just like, nope, no doubt. And it's so here in this line of like, you know, it's not, it's me, Leia. It's just, you know, someone who loves you, making it very clear of what this relationship is. And it's so meaningful to Han in this movie and in the original trilogy, right? Yeah. But also connects to everything that we end up learning about this character of he believes in a world where not only will nobody come back for you, but they'll stab you in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just the power that they came back for me because they love me. That's possible, you know? And a lot of that is held up by this just great moment.
Yeah, I love what you've just connected to a lot of the lessons in Solo, A Star Wars Story. This is someone who has surprised him at this point, I think. They've come back from indeed. Yes. Where are you now, Tobias Beckett? Where are you now?
Exactly, exactly. And I love the flourish of music that comes in there. And Han's just utter relief. He's like, Leia.
Yeah. Yeah. Good moment.
Yeah.
Good moment.
Very good moment.
So that is my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two is a line from Leia Organa. It was hard to pick one from this scene. I knew I was gravitating toward the scene between Luke and Leia on the bridge, the big and necessary reveals that Luke shares with no half-truths. Yes. all full truths, difficult truths with Leia. And the line, I considered a couple different lines, but I think the line that really stuck to me is what Leia says about her mother. Luke asks her to kind of start the conversation if she remembers her mother, and she says, just images, really feelings. Luke says, tell me. And Leia says, she was very beautiful, kind, but sad. It's interesting for me, being the age that I am, to have been able to live with that idea, that description of, like, we know that obviously there's a mother. Who knows? It's a space movie. Then there could be other means of procreation.
Yeah, sure.
But we know there's a mother. She's acknowledged. And this is the small portrait that's painted of this important figure. And it speaks a lot to Leia of, you know, she was very beautiful, kind, but sad. And it just kind of such an elegant, simple line to get the picture of, like, yeah, whoever this woman was, we know that she probably loved her kids and something happened to her because she died. And she obviously had reason to be sad because her husband is now Vader. So it's always just such a great, elegant, simple way to suggest so much.
Mm-hmm.
It spoke to what Leia knew about her life. It spoke to, you know, where some of the kindness and maybe the sadness that Luke and Leia are experiencing in this scene also comes from. But then, you know, to go on this great Star Wars journey and have it reinvigorated. First, you know, like, we meet Padme when the prequels come out. And then over time, I've come to really love the character of Padme. She gets fleshed out even more in the Clone Wars animated series. Then you get into that canon thing of, like, okay, well, how does Leia remember her? And then you go back to what she actually said. Just images, really, feelings. And it almost feels like it really does work of, like, she had dreams, intuitive dreams, you know?
Yeah.
Where she just saw her, she felt her, and she felt all these things that we know are true of what Padme would have been feeling. Yeah. And it ends up being a line that really works well in the scene, just in this movie, but takes on all of these great layers in the whole Star Wars saga.
Yeah, I could almost imagine, you know, some kind of conversation in 1997 or 98 with George Lucas of, well, okay, remember what Leia said? And he's like, yeah, I remember what Leia said. Images, really. I remember it. I was there. And let's play around with that. And then not being beholden at all to any, you know, perceived detail here. Now, look, it's a pretty bold line that I grew up thinking that, yeah, Leia knew her until she was like four or five, who knows, but I'm with you on that. And with the stuff, the way they've handled it going forward, that Leia comic all the way back in what, 2014, 2015, the short run series where she has the visions of Maul, the on Naboo, but also seeing the statues or paintings of her mother moving, right? There's some connections there, and the Force works in mysterious ways. That's kind of the only answer you really need to tell yourself. Padme, we've seen in the Clone Wars, Padme on Alderaan, on the balcony, where Leia will spend many years of her young life, and how the essence, the energy, and the Force can find some way to connect it. And Leia growing up with the Force working inside her, but her not knowing that or understanding it, that too is going to account for those dreams you're talking about, the images. And I think it's a wonderfully, a tragically beautiful line as well.
Yeah. And Leia's relationship to the Force being very intuitive and very, very much about connection, you know, across space and time, you know, of sensing people and their truths, you know?
Well, yeah, no, well said. She doesn't get to or doesn't have those X button powers developed unless you want, you know, life-saving XF1 or R1 button gets you floating back to the space cruiser. That's a power I'd like to have. But you know what I mean? Along the way, yeah, that's a lot of what Leia's force is a deeper kind of connection, a deeper kind of feeling. Hey, Finn, don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's just a moving line that sets, I think, the tone for that bridge scene. And there's that little bit of almost hope for Vader in it, right? Because it's not like she's beautiful, kind, furious, kind but sad. You know, it's very supportive of who Luke and Leia are. So that's my number two.
That is your number two, which means we're up to my number two, and I'm going to pull out a line from a bigger piece of Yoda dialogue. Though maybe I can read the whole thing for context. It is once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. I'll spare you on my Yoda impersonation. I don't do that for my Palpatine one, but Yoda says to Luke, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware anger, fear, aggression, the dark side are they. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Luke, do not underestimate the powers of the Emperor, not the dark side, the Emperor, which are in there as well, of course, or suffer your father's fate, you will. I just love everything about it. I think it's pulling that sentence out. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Then that term destiny comes up, which to me, Yoda's just saying, you're going to have a lot of choices, and that pull of the dark side is going to be easier and easier to go towards as you move forward on this path. And how when we touch that dark side, you got to be careful, and that never necessarily goes away. I think of Luke in episode 8, some of the bigger stuff there, but we don't need to connect it to all that right now. But I just love that. And in terms of all Yoda advice that you can boil down to a poster or a motivational calendar on your business office desk there, do or do not, there's no try, all those wonderful famous ones. I just have always really loved this one, especially the pain and sadness behind Yoda's words here in this one here and the warning that comes out of it.
Yeah, no, I think there's so much going on in that specific line of forever will it dominate your destiny and in that whole spiel. On my last watch through of the original trilogy to study for a recent trivia contest, watched Empire and Jedi just back to back and realized some of the things he says right in that passage, he has already directly said almost word for word the same thing in Empire mm-hmm. to Luke mm-hmm. About anger, fear, aggression, the dark side are they, in once you start down the path. And it's amazing to think like, okay, said it to Luke when it was sort of like, here's what's in the Jedi manual. Yeah. And that's the way Luke processed it. But Luke was saying like, cool, cool, cool. Can you teach me some more X button powers so I can fight the dark side? And now he's getting to say it to a Luke who has been through a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And now it isn't just from a textbook. Now I think Luke can take it as real. Those are the stakes. Luke gets it now. Luke gets why he had that vision of himself as Vader, as one and the same. It's not just the familial choices. It's the, if you lead with aggression, you're going to end up being the aggressor like your father is. Yeah. And to hear some of those same lines said back to him now that he can understand a little bit more. And I love everything about that scene because there Yoda is really, he was grumpy and not sure about Luke in Empire. And now it seems like he's been watching him. He's like, this kid turned it around.
Yeah.
He's got a serious mind now, you know, he's got great devotion and he's speaking to him with such empathy. And the way he says, you know, the stuff about suffer your father's fate, it's less fear about the galaxy like it was in the Empire. And now it's more like, don't let that happen to you, man. Mm. It feels more about Luke. You know, obviously it is still about the fate of the galaxy, but the way Yoda's communicating, it's like he's truly concerned about Luke's soul for its own value, not for its stake in this cosmic battle.
Yeah, yeah. And look, not for nothing, too, and well said indeed, Joseph, but I love when you got Yoda saying, do not underestimate the powers of the Emperor. You can shoot right to Revenge of the Sith. And hello, little friend. Like, you know, Yoda's lost a fight here. He knows what's at stake. He knows what can go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. In those comedy moments, my mind flashes to that look of surprise when the lightning's coming too fast for Yoda to block it in Revenge of the Sith. Wham.
Wham.
Hurts, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. A lot there. You got to have some Yoda. And of course, as I've said before, but this was the scene in which my young sister at 4 years old started screaming, Yodio, Yodio. And we had to take her out of the theater because Yodio was dying. Oh, just tough.
It is very, very sad. And Yoda goes for every award in his death scene here.
He does. So that is my number two, which means we are going to take a quick break here on Star Wars Rank. But when we come back, we'll have our number one choices and probably many honorable mentions, things that almost made the list. Stick around here to Star Wars Rank. Welcome back to Star Wars Rant, episode 128, and we are looking at our favorite lines from Return of the Jedi. Joseph and I have given a lot of lines from all parts of the galaxy. Sad, funny, memories, action, threats, temptations. Oh, there's a lot to cover in Return of the Jedi, which means we didn't get all of them on the list. Joseph, what are some of your honorable mentions?
Some honorable mentions or some fun ones. I Know It's a Trap is a classic. I love it. But even before It's a Trap, it became enough support around it where it was had this sort of a cultural reemergence.
Yeah, correct.
Or not even reemergence, emergence as a treasured line. Because as we've said before, when people were coming out of the theater in 83, nobody was like, you know what the best part of that movie is? When the fish guy said, it's a trap. That's one of those lines that became popular because people watched this movie again and again and again and discovered that was a connection point, that they liked this line.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that is to say, for me, walking out of the theater in 83, the Akbar line I always liked is, our cruisers can't repel firepower that magnitude.
Yes.
Especially with the fin really making the point, the flapper.
Yeah,
making the flapper point.
Absolutely. As an Akbar stand myself, and as a Mon Calamari stand myself, this is a line that I both love, but will also use as proof is why I don't think Holdo should have been Akbar, because you cannot get a ton of emotional depth out of power that magnitude. You just can't. But it's a great line by a wonderful, complicated leader. I was reading a little bit more on Akbar this week. I was poking around Wikipedia, Joseph, and there's some thoughts on Akbar kind of being. Oh, you know, it's even in the Star Wars Archives book of Lucas kind of describing Akbar as a little on the cocky side. I thought it was fascinating to and then you have a line like this where he's just like Mr. Confident, Mr. Cocky, maybe a little bit. Maybe that's why he and Raddus didn't get along back in the day. I don't know. I want to know all about them. But just this hopeless truth, which also speaks to the weight that Akbar's carrying in the battle.
Yeah. And we both love that sigh. It's not a line, but that sigh when the executor goes down. Another one for me, kind of a comedy line, kind of a depth line. It's not intended as a comedy line, but in culture, it has sometimes become a comedy line. But Mon Mothma's many Bothans died to bring us this information. I call it a comedy line from the sense that people quote it a lot and use it in different contexts for, you know, a jokey way to say that a price was paid elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
People often have, you know, like a lot of Bothan theories and opinions. They're in legends. They've been, according to some sources, untouchable in canon, modern canon.
Yeah.
Just leave the Bothans alone for now. But the reason that I put it on my list of favorite lines is not only is it kind of have that cultural weight, among Star Wars fans. I think the reason it does is because it's great tip of the iceberg storytelling again.
Yes.
And the absolute weight with which Carolyn Blackstone delivers it is what makes it resonate. If it was just kind of thrown off over the shoulder or whatever, it was just said in any other way, then, hey, we're reminding you that we are, every step of this war, we are paying a price. And in order to honor the sacrifices that others have made, let's keep going forward. It's just that, like, before we get into a tactical briefing, let's just really remember that people have sacrificed every step of the way to end this tyranny.
Yeah, it's a great why we fight moment, right? It's just like, it's almost like, I don't want to say like, hey, before this briefing, let's say a prayer, but it's just a big reminder of the big picture. Absolutely. Yeah. And early on the playground at school, saying that line to connect to other Star Wars fans.
Yeah, like, what's a Bothan? Or like, you know, I've talked to other people who I don't know if it was serious or if they're joking, where they misinterpreted it and thought Manny was the first name and Bothans was the last name. Like some scoundrel named Manny Bothans died.
Yes, which does that becomes a bit of a plot point in the Tag and Bink series, right?
Like, oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't read those to recently, Kevin Rubio series there, but I finally did, and yes, it's there. And as someone who despises kind of pun or wordplay comedy like myself, and I know you're not a huge fan either, Joseph, it works for me on a very fun surface level.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, it has this great weight, but you have to know, be able to infer what Bothans may or may not mean, right? Otherwise, you might get confused. Another one for me that just always jumps out, it's many great Han Solo lines, but one I've always just really liked is the, hey, it's me.
Oh, I mean, that yes. Come on. That's just one of the best ones.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of great Han Solo lines in this, but the when they're sort of, I don't know, he's in that place where, you know, something's changed now. He has seen that he is not alone. People will come for him. Tobias Beckett was wrong. And we get a little of the kind of dramatic version of that, of Leia realizing that he's all in, that he's, volunteered to lead the strike team. And then he's really trying to be like, I'm doing this. I got this mission. I'm in command. It's my mission. Don't worry about it. And like volunteers to be the one who sneaks down. And both Luke and Leia being so concerned of like, well, do it quietly. Now, hey, it's me. And you immediately flash to the guy who's, you know, screaming at a stormtrooper and running after him in the halls of the Death Star.
Yeah.
It's just a great little bit of character comedy.
Yeah. Love that one. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
I know you got a couple more here. I'll throw some out here.
Yeah, please do.
I love kind of around the same time there in the early moments of the Endor stuff here. I love 3PO after they're like, you stay here. And to keep up his, golden god status, he says, I have decided that we shall stay here. Always just love that. One of my favorite little lines of just 3PO at that moment. 3PO finally getting a little bit of do in Return of the Jedi. But I love that he has to kind of save some face there. It's fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The other one, I've said a lot, so it's no surprises on this list, but it's just, I've been obsessed with it since I was a kid, and just such proof of your serious, gritty Star Wars is also really silly. And of course, is when 3PO emerges and is the Ewok scene for the first time, and he speaks, and the one Ewok says to the other, that guy's wise. I just, come on. It might be my most quoted line in Star Wars. It's just silly.
It is. It's really silly. How do you take it? Do you take it that he is saying something in Ewokese that happens to sound like that guy's wise? Or do you think this is an Ewok who understands some basic?
I've always a little bit of maybe a lost in translation, but also, yes, I like this idea that even 3PO in his befuddled kind of confusion here has said something that makes sense to them.
Nice. I like it.
Some other ones. You mentioned there's great importance behind Crix Maydeen saying, General Solo is your strike team assembled. Leia looking at this man she loves who's now finally committed to a bigger cause, and the whole big theme behind it there. And I just love what that line represents beyond just a tactical situation going on there.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Tip of the iceberg storytelling. You've got to mention Lando saying someone must have told them about my little maneuver at the Battle of Tanab. I love that. I love what it meant then. Just like you said, you'd spend hours staring to the ceiling, up in the ceiling as a kid going, wonder what the Battle of Tanab was and what did he do?
Yeah, what did Lando do at Tanab?
Yeah, one more here, and then I'll kick back to you, and then I'll close up the shop here on Honorable Mentions. I do like Han saying, come on, let's keep a little optimism here. We got a lot of different versions of Han all the way through this, right? He's a little dour, he's a little sarcastic, a little cynical, but also like, hey, you know, it's me. Let's not forget, we'll figure it out. We'll figure a way out here. Let's keep a little optimism here.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. And, you know, he and Luke are in such a different place there, too. It's great.
Yeah, so a couple more on your list, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had to mention, I've talked about it a lot before, of just the rhythm of it and the truth of it. So many lines in Yoda's scene of passing away into the Force. But that is the way of things, the way of the Force. There's just kind of like there's such a peace to it. you know, I found it comforting even as a kid, and I find it comforting as an adult. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Out of 3PO's whole storytelling montage, which is so great, I think the line that jumps out to me is Han Solo, Tiglo Carbon.
So I love this line. And if you had already, if you and I were in the same class in like, say, sixth grade, but we didn't know each other, I just moved to town. I'm new to the Minnesota, greater Minnesota area. And I heard you say that and you did also the hand gesture. Of, I would have been like, I could be friends with that guy.
Right.
That would have been that shared, unique journey I always talk about. I love that line.
Yeah, it is so good. Two other ones I want to shout out there really quickly. Obviously, there's great weight and meaning to it, but it's just the delivery for a Vader line. I think James Earl Jones, Return of the Jedi might be his greatest performance as Vader in my book. The absolute weight he has on sister.
Oh, it's, yes, yes.
Right? The first time he says it, it's such an important idea, he sells it. Mm-hmm. And the last one is kind of a line. I realize I wanted to include a Jabba one. There's some great Jabba lines. But I really like it when Luke is kind of offering him his last chance out on the skiff, and Jabba's on the sail barge. And we cut to him, Jabba, just very briefly, and he's kind of mumbling, kind of laughing. He's like, Jedi. You don't understand anything he's saying. It's not translated, but you know it's like, you're not a Jedi, you idiot.
Yeah.
And it's just that moment of doubt before the comeuppance.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Rolling through a couple of mine here. This could go on for a long time. Speaking of Jabba lines, I love this bounty hunter's my kind of scum, fearless and inventive. Just, I've always been drawn to that.
So great.
So great. And then Luke, too, you should have bargained, Jabba. This is the last mistake you'll ever make. Just a really strong way of saying, I gave you the choice, and now I am philosophically okay with destroying you.
Uh-huh. It's really clear. Like, I tried to do a money deal, tried to sneak him out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm offering you again. One last chance.
I know I've told the story, but for record here, discussing Return of the Jedi lines, I've just, a friend of mine, my pal Mark, back in high school, we were big Star Wars fans, and we were heading to class after lunch. The lunch bell rang, and there's just a horde of students around, and he had to go one way, I had to go one way. And it looked like, you know, Luke and Han being, you know, shuffled out to the sail barge in this moment when the line's delivered. And he and I just made eye contact and like both at the same time said, this is the last mistake you'll ever make. It's like, that's why we're Star Wars fans, right? Those are the moments.
Yeah.
All right.
That's so great.
Promise just a couple. Yeah, your overconfidence is your weakness. Your faith in your friends is yours. That's just talk about Palpatine's Luke banter. That's my favorite one there.
Yeah, and they're both right, potentially.
Well, I was going to say, it's one of the only times where I'm like, yeah, Palp's got a point there, Luke. Palp's got a point. And then the final one for me, swear to God, final one. Vader saying to Luke, saying to Palpatine when they're discussing, you know, hey, the small team of rebels has infiltrated the shield generator. When Vader says, my son is with him. Now, there's a lot of storytelling now of when Vader found out and this kind of a cold and occasionally hot war between Palpatine and Vader and who knows what, and adds, I think, wonderful subtext to the conversation they have in Empire Strikes Back. But I think nothing of this new canon undercuts this moment where Vader is just, I think, kind of dangling that in front of him of the connection to my son is a little more powerful than even you can foresee. And not that I'm saying in this moment he's saying, hey, we're both going to kill you, but just like it's Vader kind of reminding him of the connection to me.
Yeah, no, there is the language. I think Return of the Jedi is really well written dialogue wise, obviously, since we're talking about all these great lines, but there are a lot of little moments in the language that are important. And I think, yeah, Vader saying, you know, Skywalker's with him, but my son is very, very, it's showing us his journey, right?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So there you go. Honorable mentions. We could have done a whole show on honorable mentions. Because again, Return of the Jedi, pretty darn quotable. Probably because how long it lived with most of us for sure. But as you just said, really well-written in terms of fun, but meaningful dialogue all throughout. So with that said, we are going to get to our number one choices for our favorite lines in Return of the Jedi. I'll go with my number one here so that you can close out the show, Joseph. My number one is from Anakin Skywalker. I thought long and hard, how do I close out this list? What has some meaning? What can I take with me from this movie? And I didn't grow up necessarily quoting this one as a fun line, but it has a lot more meaning now. And especially as you get older, this whole sequence with Luke taking the mask off of his father and the line of Anakin, if you already have Luke, you were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister you were right as he passes away. You were right about me, which also confirms perhaps some of the stuff that maybe Kenobi held on to, but definitely the stuff that Padme believed in her heart. You and I love that last little moment, Revenge of the Sith, telling Obi-Wan there's still good in him, and how that carries through. And Luke carries on that belief all down to boils down to this sad, very tragic, yet heartwarming moment. You were right about me. And then tell your sister, the person who I just dangled in front of you as a temptation to get you to the dark side, tell her you were right about me so you guys can carry that legacy forward or that memory forward. I know, I just love it. It moves me. And, I don't care whether it's Sebastian Shaw's eyes or Hayden Christensen's eyes. I really don't. I just love this moment.
Yeah, no, it is. It's every little beat of that is so powerful, so well done. But as the saga grows, I'm so happy that moment is there that includes Leia, because it's so important, right? Mm-hmm. It works. If there'd never been any prequels, it all works. How the idea of Luke's attachment does it in his insight and his intuition does him credit, but it could be made to serve the Emperor, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody like the Emperor can twist the idea of saving what you love, defending the people close to you into, in order to protect them, you lash out at what you hate and you just become all about hate. Like that's the central question. It becomes even more powerful when we realize that what's happening in Return of the Jedi is a short game version of the long game that Palpatine played on Anakin. So all of that is at stake. It was at stake in Empire Strikes Back when Luke left to save Leia, ends up being saved by Leia. And then it boils down into, oh, wow, Vader almost gets him. He almost breaks his son the same way he was broken. And in that moment, yeah, his daughter is a tool to win this game. And then to have not only the confirmation that Padme was right, when Kenobi tried to reach me, he was right. When Ahsoka tried to reach me, she was right. When you just really wouldn't give up on me, Luke, you were right. You know, such an important statement about himself. But then as a Jedi, to kind of die more with the selfless concern of like, attachment isn't a weakness. It's a strength, which is why this all happened. Mm-hmm. And tell your sister that not just about me to give her comfort, but almost more tell your sister that, you know, seeing attachment as a strength is right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So much to it. And I cannot recommend enough. I always do read the novelization and the tears of Luke feeling like rain to his father in that time. Beautiful little moment. A lot there.
Yeah.
A lot there. But that is my number one favorite line in Return of the Jedi. But that means we've got your number one, Joseph. What do we got?
My number one is kind of two lines, but mainly one line. I'm cheating a little bit.
Oh, I think
is that accepted?
That's accepted here. Right?
Okay, good, good. Ran it by the host. I can cheat a little bit, everybody. My number one is an exchange between Luke Skywalker and Palpatine. We've shared a couple of these, but this is the big one for me. It is Luke Skywalker saying, I am a Jedi like my father before me. Palpatine taking that in as Luke just stares him down and responding, so be it, Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Palpatine side of it, it is just, I really went through and was like, what are my true favorite Palpatine lines? And that is both in meaning and delivery. Just one of my absolute favorites. It's the way he spits Jedi. You know, it's just that unique, weird delivery. Kind of just classic evil wizard you wouldn't want to meet in a dark forest, but he's on a space station. voice combined with these weird slowdowns and speed ups. That makes it really unique and really funny. And it's there in that line of so be it, Jedi. And it's just it's said with such hate, but it's also that moment of him being like, all right, well, plan A, convert you failed. I always got plan B, which is just kill you. And it's all in that line. So wanted to highlight that. But the one that is most important to me is Luke saying, I am a Jedi like my father before me. When you watch the original trilogy, you know, it does. We know all the behind the scenes story and we know how much changed. We knew there could never be another there might never have been another film
yeah.
after A New Hope. We knew that the change was made to be like, yeah, no, it works. We're going to make Vader his father. Yeah, we wanted there to be another, you know, what makes it works. We're going to make it be Leia. All of those changes and through those adaptations, yeah. those evolutions, the through line of what Luke wants and why and the journey he goes through is so strong, right?
Yeah.
He's told about this possibility of becoming a Jedi like his father. He's encouraged to follow that path with Obi-Wan. He discovers what the Empire has done to his aunt and uncle, and he tells Obi-Wan, I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father. That's his stated goal. And then Empire is so much about, he thinks that means become a great warrior like my father and kill the bad guy. Oh, the bad guy is my father.
Mm.
And being a Jedi is not about being a warrior. It is about truly understanding, you know, what you're fighting for. It is about knowledge and defense. It is about truly fighting for the light. And Return of the Jedi is framed so well to be this question of, can Luke reach his father, or will he need to give in and kill his father?
Mm-hmm.
And the just the utter triumph of, I finally understand what it means to be a Jedi. This is what I've wanted for a long time, but I didn't understand truly what it was that I even wanted. And I do now. I've passed the Jedi trial that Yoda sets for me earlier in this film, where Yoda kind of laughs at him and like, yeah, no, you're not a Jedi yet. You have to go through this trial. You have to face your father. And depending on how you deal with that, then you will be a Jedi. And it's just such a great fist pumping moment of he succeeded. He resolved the conflict between himself and Vader, at least in the way that he needed to, and passed his Jedi trial. And just the strength of him not only proclaiming, I completed this journey that I said I wanted to, but now I understand what it is. Mm. And it's a journey that is about legacy. You know, it's not just, I'm a Jedi now. I'm a Jedi like my father before me. I truly understand who my father is. Not just the idea of my father, but my real father. Mm. And honoring him as well as sort of touting his own victory.
Yeah, no, I mean, well said. It doesn't even capture how I feel about what you're describing here, because it's to me, these are the combined. These two lines are the entire point. There's so many other things here in the original trilogy, but this is the journey. This is Luke's journey in many ways. Yes, Leia, and we celebrate Leia. We celebrate Han. We celebrate Akbar. We celebrate them all. It all builds to this and what it means. I take Palpatine, his spitting out that word. He would know what a true Jedi is. He's been dealing with them for a long time. And I take it not as quite as a principal giving you the diploma, but it is someone going, yeah, you know what? You're right. And I've hated you, Jedi, for so long. So I'm going to kill you now. And it's a weird kind of confirmation of this journey for me. And it's just a powerful moment. Luke, the lightsaber being thrown down. And, I think your relationship to this moment might change and grow over your life as a Star Wars fan, from when you first saw it as a kid and to discovering some of the more depth behind it. I think there's a lot to this line, but it is, to me, in many ways, it is the core of these three movies, and particularly this wonderful movie that brings it all home.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're saying some great things that make me, you know, also want to approach these lines from just this real simple perspective of a Jedi is somebody whose connection to hope can't be broken with the threat of fear.
Mm.
And that's what Luke just demonstrated. And for Palpatine, that's the scariest thing in the world, right? So like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I cannot drive the hope from you. So I fear you. So you got to go, Jedi.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my number one. I am a Jedi like my father before me, with a little side of so be a Jedi.
It is the best way to end our look at our favorite lines in Return of the Jedi. And yes, this series will continue to go on here. Whenever Joseph and I are sitting down for Star Wars Rank, we're going to go through them all. We're going to go through release order. So up next, Phantom Menace. Why release order? It gives us as longtime fans just a little help context clues to remember where we were when we saw some of these lines and maybe how we've grown with them. And that's going to be fun. So we are going to be looking at The Phantom Menace next, diving in through the prequels here on Star Wars Ranked. Always a lot of fun to highlight the lines we love that we know you connect with as well. We are Force Center Pod. You can find us on Twitter under that name, Force Center Pod. Use that hashtag Star Wars Ranked. Join this conversation and tell us your favorite lines as well. We are Instagram and YouTube as well. And our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We have merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can get an audio book on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can support us directly by going to patreon.com/Force Center. From there, you can also get into our Discord, where a daily conversation with a wonderful community of Star Wars fans happens, including a Star Wars ranked discussion. So pop on over there if you want. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to KenNapsok.com for information on all the things I'm doing, including upcoming comedy shows. Can definitely confirm New York on October 7th. And I do believe we got San Francisco coming up and Washington, D.C. in the future as well. That's your spot to get ticket links if you want to see me do some jokes and yuck yucks when I come to your town. Joseph, what do you have?
I wish that there were a creature in Jabba's palace called a yuck yuck. It feels like there should be a creature named yuck yuck that we all had an action figure of.
There's a lot of Star Wars still to come, and I think our hope for a yuck yuck existing is still there.
For now, go see Ken's Yuck Yucks in New York. That's going to be a great show. You can find me on all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my website for all my other comedy adventures at josephscrimshaw.com.
That is it. All right. We've got our lines down. We'll move on to The Phantom Menace. That's it for this week, my friend. Star Wars has been ranked.